Hey, if you've suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Now here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back. ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. We got some callers that want to get in here. If you want to get in, you're more than welcome. First up is Dave. Dave, what's going on? How are you?
Hey, good morning, guys. I got a couple things. I'll make it real quick. I'm the one called last week talking about that out of the eight teams left, we had the worst quarterback, and the debate was between him and Bo Nix, and it's clearly we have the worst. Unfortunately. Secondly, I had the worst loss in the history of losses this weekend on Underdog. I just heard you talk about Underdog and you refreshed by pain. I had Loveland to go over 56 and a half, and he ended up with 56.
56.
And I had him on all three. I had him on all three. 50, and he was a killer for it. He got hurt on the last play before overtime. And
yeah, he got a concussion. That's my son said. And, you know, they didn't really talk about it. My son said, did you see Loveland? He's got a concussion for sure. Did you see how he – and I kept an eye on it. It's like, oh, no, he's back on the field. Nope, that's Cole Kmet. He never came back on the field.
Yeah.
Yes. I kept thinking, just play him one more time and put him out. But hey, man.
He had a concussion, Dave.
Throw him a hitch. Get him 1 yard.
Get him
Back in my day, they just call him, you got your bell rung. Go back.
That's all. It's a bell rung. That's all. That's right. No, you're right. You get right. Just get back out there. You got a stinger. That's all. You're all right. You were right. We talked about that. As a matter of fact, Monday, I was the one to question whether or not Bo Nix was as good as CJ. And the numbers were pretty similar between the two, but Bo Nix was clearly much better in crunch time, in clutch time, than CJ was. So, yep, CJ was the worst quarterback of the postseason. He won that. He even beat out Justin Herbert, who was terrible. But, you know, 5 fumbles, 5 interceptions, just, it's not even arguable. How about my buddy on DraftKings? He won $2,000 that night. If DeAndre Swift gets in from the 2 yard line, he wins $40,000 on DraftKings.
What?
Yeah. He just picked a bunch of guys and he said, okay, and he sent it in for $3. He won $2,000 and he would have won $40,000 if DeAndre Swift could score from the 2.
$3?
Yeah, for $3.
So he hit a bunch of, like, pseudo long shots.
You got to have the perfect. You got to pick all the best of, and he picked the best of everything. If DeAndre Swift, 2 yard run, gets in, then he wins 40 large. But he's got the $2,000 with him right now, and we're spending it.
We?
You know, me and him. You know,
wait, we're spending it.
Yeah, we're gonna spend it. Hell yes.
Who's we? I don't understand.
Cocktails, food. We got golf. We're spending it. Let's go.
I don't understand how you're saying we, though.
It's we. He's my friend. Okay? Yeah.
Dell, do you ever get to spend any of your friend? Do you spend Sean Mapes' money?
Do you and Mapesy go out?
Or does Mapesy spend your money when
I don't
you
live in a world where I just get to spend people's money.
Yeah.
The only money I spend is my own.
Well, he's actually given. He gave me some of it yesterday playing golf. He lost. So, you know what? That's a good way to get it, too. Bet your friends and take their money. It's a great way to get it.
Hey, you live a different life than a lot of us, John.
Yeah.
That's all.
That's all.
It's we.
Is it Randall, you said?
I said Leonard.
Leonard.
Welcome, Leonard.
That's close to Randall. Hey, Leonard.
Hey, good morning, guys. It's been a long time since I called in. We've had no sports achievements since 1987 in Indiana. I used to call in about Leonard from Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
But hold on a second. I think we just scored again on Alabama.
Mm.
Boom, roasted.
Mm-hmm.
It was a good run. Are we now a football school?
You are.
I mean, I would say so, yeah.
Yeah, we're not basketball. We haven't been a factor in, what, two generations of basketball.
Nope. Well, you were in Miami, and you outdrew them fan-wise at their home stadium.
Oh, I remember you now, Leonard. That's right. You did used to call in about Indiana.
Indiana, yeah.
Yeah, I used to call when, like I said, when we were a factor in anything, you know, in basketball.
You're a football school now. We're a football school now.
We actually won 8 championships in soccer, but not sure if that counts.
It doesn't.
But basketball, we got, you know, it's a long way to go, but you never know.
Texas claims diving. I don't hear anyone talk about that. I read an article about Mark Cuban, and apparently a big reason, like one of the secret little, not so secret, but we saw him on TV the other day. Apparently Mark Cuban, who graduated from IU in 81, kicked in a bunch of money into the war chest, and the whole article is about, does every team need to have a billionaire to compete now? I mean, Texas Tech got them a billionaire. Indiana's got a billionaire now.
Well, did you know where Mark Cuban got his money? He started Broadcast.com back in the 80s because he wanted to listen to basketball, to IU basketball, and then he sold it to Yahoo for $2 billion. And that's where most of his money came from. But, I mean, you're competing against not Bob Knight, but Phil Knight and all the Texas, you know, oil people and all that. So I think IU still maybe 15th to 20th as far as money goes with regard to paying, you know, football NIL. But IU Stadium only holds 52,000. So it's hard to compete with Michigan and Ohio State.
Yeah, money-wise, but no, you got plenty of money. You're doing just fine, and now you're going to get even more. I want to say this. Thank you, Leonard. We appreciate it. There was going around yesterday was Feinbaum, and Feinbaum saying what a mistake in October they made signing Cignetti to that contract. And you were like, oh, this is going to be just like Jimbo.
But, John, that was one of the conversations because the thought was, well, now Cignetti has you on a long-term hook and he can leave anytime he wants. I remember that was actually not a crazy take back then.
Well, it is a crazy take. When I saw a story about how much Kurt Cignetti, you know, and his $12 million a year, what he means to the university and the applications and the money that's poured into the university – it's not even close. He has meant it's. I mean, he's a huge bargain for $12 million a year. What he has meant so far to that university. So,
correct.
Yeah, I mean, the money that sports bring in for these universities, the applications are through the roof, but to go to Indiana now, and they're
I'll
going
believe
to
it when I see it. I believe it when I see it.
They expand. They're probably going to expand the university. I mean, it is really, really important to have this kind. And you just, a coach, $12 million, blah, blah, blah. It means a lot. It really does. So, and Kurt Cignetti is a bargain for Indiana.
Yeah, right now he is. But I'll tell you what is a real thing that has happened. So a lot of people from the Northeast, as Alabama and in Georgia have had their runs over the last decade, their applications have skyrocketed. Mm-hmm. I mean, absolutely skyrocketed from people in the Northeast. And the guy who handles my contracts for the NFL stuff, Russ, his daughter, you know, he lives in Long Island. He works in New York, all that stuff. His daughter wanted to go to Georgia badly. And a lot of her friends do too. And it's because on Instagram, they see the Saturday parties, they see the tailgates, they see the fun. And Georgia's considered a good school. But Georgia's also extremely hard to get into because they primarily just take kids from Georgia.
From Georgia, right.
But he said, he goes, Lance, you wouldn't believe how many kids. It used to be that they wanted to go to Tulane and Emory in Atlanta, you know, to these private schools where the weather's better. Now, it's not weather's a consideration for sure for a lot of those kids, but SEC football has turned into a major deal, apparently a major deal. And I was talking to my son who's at Alabama about it. He goes, oh, yeah, we've got way more people from Pennsylvania and New York than you would assume. It's not like it's packed. You know, it's not like Alabama's packed with it. But the application numbers, absolutely, from the Northeast, especially the cold weather, they are considering their kids want to go where it's fun, where it's warm and fun. Indiana, is that warm and fun? Is it warm and fun?
Well, even I remember Dick Bennett back in the day when they made the Final Four. And they even Wisconsin, the application, they want to go somewhere where the sports are good.
They How long go, do those kids last, though?
Yeah.
That would be my question. What's the hold? How long?
Portal.
Is it a year? You know what? Madison's not fun, although Madison's a party school. But you know what? Bloomington was fun from afar. But now that I'm here, you know
this isn't awesome.
Yeah, I wonder the retention rate for those kids.
I could see that being an issue for sure.
The retention is good. Trust me. You go to not like sports where I go here 1 year.
I don't
you're going to pay me $5 million to go to another place. They don't get paid to go to school somewhere else.
I went to Tulane, which had no drinking age. Basically, our retention wasn't great, and one of the reasons is because people
your sports
absolutely
sucked.
Partied. No, they partied their way out of school either through grades or through becoming alcoholics. But it wouldn't shock me if somebody went to Bloomington and said, this isn't like what I saw on Georgia on Instagram. This isn't Instagrammable. I can see them losing some
people. Jane Pauley and Mark Cuban would disagree. They're great. It's a great, great, great institution. That you can that sets you up for success.
Why are you all of a sudden this IU honk?
Who knows?
I've actually got
love
two nieces
IU.
Who go to
sure,
IU.
He's got a sweatshirt coming from someone.
Yeah. Because I was a fan back in the day. Bobby Knight, he was my favorite coach. All right,
I can see that. Yep. Is Dana the quarterback coach there now? What is going on here?
Is
Spavital over in Indiana?
I ain't going to Nebraska. Okay, we got to win more. Let's go.
They call Indiana the Nebraska of the Midwest.
They call Golden Nugget Lake Charles the Palace of Louisiana. And they're right. You know why? Because it is. It's palatial. It's wonderful. I love it. Love me some Golden Nugget. One of my favorite places. We're going to be there in a couple of weeks. As a matter of fact, I want you to come. Let's play poker together. Let's go play golf. Hopefully it'll be warm by then. We can play some golf together. Just come on down. Gamble. Eat. I mean, 12 different restaurants. Their seafood restaurant. Their steak restaurant. Their Italian restaurant. Their Chinese restaurant. It is. They got it all. Claim jumper. Whatever you're looking. Mexican. Whatever you're looking for. They've got all the different restaurants. So there's something there for everybody. You don't have to be a gambler to go. You got the pool. You got the golf course. You got the nightclub. You got all of the restaurants. There's something for everybody to do. Kids, everybody. Everybody can come. You're looking for a great way just a couple hours down the road as opposed to flying all the way to Vegas. Man, that's my place. Love me some Golden Nugget. GoldenNuggetLC.com. The hotel is beautiful. Make your reservations. Get your set up in the draft. Make sure you make reservations for the DraftKings Sportsbook, especially if you're thinking about going for the Super Bowl or the final or the NCAA tournament. Let's go. GoldenNuggetLC.com. GoldenNuggetLC.com.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
Stand by. Cue announcer.
The Del Olalea Show. Weekday mornings from 10 to noon. It's John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Hi. We got calls. We got some other stuff that we got to get to, baseball-wise. Want to play this this soundbite from A.J. Pierzynski But let's get a couple of calls in here, and then we'll talk about Carlos Beltran getting into the Hall of Fame. Who is it? Who's up, though? Sean. What's going on, Sean? Is it Mapes?
Hey, Lance. Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
So I just want to come
it's on
Sean
here. Sean the intern.
Hey, Sean the intern.
Yes. Former intern.
You're always going to be Sean the intern. You're 50, you're going to be Sean the intern.
Maybe you didn't hear, John. He said, I don't shine shoes no more.
You've been away
a little bit.
All right.
Okay, but I just want to come on here and just say to Broncos fans that, look, I know the situation is dire. Bo Nix, unfortunate that he's out for the rest of the playoffs. And, you got to start here instead of. And while that may be doom and gloom, I mean, look, he's not some type of like high level quarterback, but he's a solid guy. He studied the playbook under Sean Payton for 3 years. I mean, he can get the job done. And not only that, the Patriots O-line, it's kind of struggled as of late. I mean, they gave up 5 sacks to both the Chargers and the Texans. So, like, if the defense does their thing, if Jared Stidham can get it done. And besides, Patriots really don't have any game tape of Stidham to study. So how can you prepare for someone if they, barely even play? So that's got to be an advantage to the Broncos.
Ironically, he played for the Patriots in the past, but I mean, you're right. I mean, technically,
that's
you're right.
The tape he hasn't that they're played studying. A lot.
Yeah, and it's old, and it doesn't. It's really irrelevant at this point. Here's what I would say. I would not count out Sean Payton to manufacture good opportunities for Payton to make. I mean, for Stidham to make easy throws. He's been around, so Stidham has been around. He's not completely overwhelmed. He was a 3-year starter at Auburn, or 2-year, 3-year starter at Auburn in the SEC. Like, he's got enough of a pedigree that we shouldn't expect him to just completely flop. And I think he's got as good a head coach as you would want. You know, the run game has to be really good. The defense has to be really good. But you're in altitude. I wouldn't write Denver off. Now, if it was Houston, defensively, I would have written Denver off, because Jarrett Stidham would have failed miserably against the Texans' defensive front. But against New England's got a good defense, but I don't know.
They made Herbert look really bad. They made Stroud look really bad.
That's true. Yeah. Herbert in the playoff, does he ever look bad? Oh, always.
Yeah. You would have written Denver off with the Texans. What about CJ
I would have
against
completely
the Broncos?
Written them off.
What about CJ against the Broncos?
Because CJ would have hit his stride.
Okay. Let's say the Texans had survived his awful performance against the Patriots. Somehow, some way. You think he would have snapped back against the Broncos pass rush?
Yep.
And corners?
What are the odds of him continuing this turnover streak?
Do we have to go back to the first week after the Steelers game where we're like, there's no way he could play worse?
Yeah, but there's no way he does it 3 weeks in a row.
Okay, sure.
I'm with you, Lance. He's always glass.
That game would have been 6-3 or 6-5 or something.
There goes half empty Dell.
Well, what? I'm not even being half empty, because I'm actually hypothetically saying they won the game. They didn't win the game, so I'm actually being more positive than reality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. Let's back the guy you're asking if Mac Jones is the better player then.
Yeah, but here's the thing. You just never know when CJ's going to.
What are we talking about?
I'm trying to make sense right now, Dell.
Less than an hour ago, you were saying, maybe Mac Jones could come in here and hand the football off when we go to the Super Bowl. Now you think CJ could bounce back against Denver against them?
I don't want to talk about this anymore. I don't want to talk about this. This is a bad conversation. Thanks, Sean, intern Sean.
I ain't not intern no more.
Yeah, he is. He's always going to be intern. He'll be 50, and I'll still be calling him.
You'll be
intern,
dead. So. You won't be calling him anything.
I will be dead, but up from the grave. Who's next, Keith? Keith, what up?
Hey guys, tough to follow up. Intern Sean and 75-year-old Leonard from Indiana, but you know the Texans aren't moving off CJ, so I want to do a little CJ current NFL QB comp and former NFL QB comp. Let me know if I'm close here. I evaluated all 32 NFL QBs. I'd say CJ Stroud's current NFL QB comp is Geno Smith, and his best former NFL QB comp is Josh Freeman of the Bucks. What do you think?
First, before we attack his or talk about his comparison, you hear the arrogance from Keith?
Yeah, I know. He goes, ever since Vanderbilt won 10.
Yeah. Oh, you're so much better than Sean and Leonard.
75-year-old Leonard?
Yeah.
By the way, I don't know how old Leonard is.
Neither do I. You're so much better?
Yeah. Okay.
Josh Freeman.
Wait a minute. That's his future?
That's his past NFL quarterback. He compared him to Josh Freeman.
Was Josh Freeman a rookie of the year?
I don't know. I don't think so. He played.
Start off better.
Yeah, he was much better than he got.
Was he rookie of the year?
I don't believe Josh Freeman.
You
won
know,
rookie
hold
year.
On.
Shannon Sharp and Ocho were talking about saying, you know what? CJ got humbled. That off season, that rookie off season. He was comparing himself. He was bragging about. He was putting himself up there, top five, yeah. Top three quarterback in the league. This league will humble you. He said, "You never heard Brady or Peyton Manning, any of them, say what CJ was saying that offseason." That was a bad offseason for him. That was a really bad offseason for him.
Yeah,
he was
I
on a world
so
tour
time.
With Michael yeah. Micah Parsons. He was, you know, doing every podcast he possibly could. He's comparing himself to, you know, everybody else, all the other quarterbacks in the league. I mean, that was a really, really bad offseason.
It didn't – at the time, I just thought it was let me put it this way. I didn't feel like it at the time. All he did was podcasts. It's not – he didn't say anything that was, you know, incendiary, not necessarily. And he was playing really well then. That was – what he was saying was a legitimate question we were kicking around on the – the further it gets from it, though – like the worse it looks.
Yeah.
It's not, it's aging very, very poorly. And it did, I mean, it did humble him. I don't need it to humble him so much that he loses all his confidence. Like a humbling so that he locks back in is one thing. A humbling that he loses all of his confidence, that's no good. Josh Freeman, his first year, 10 touchdowns, 18 interceptions. I don't think he was probably offensive rookie of the year that year. 54% completion
Josh
percentage.
Josh Freeman.
Hold on. His second year, 25 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. Threw for 34-51. But then the year after that, 16 touchdowns, 22 interceptions.
CJ didn't and then do the that.
And then the year after that, he had 27 touchdowns, 17 interceptions. But that was his last real year as a full-time starter in Tampa. He was out of the league. He only lasted... He started in 2019. 2013 was his last year. So it wasn't a long run. It was a five-year run. I take it back. He didn't play in 14. He came back and was a backup in Indianapolis in 15. So he played 6 years.
That's not even a close comp.
CJ Stroud.
His second year, he was comparable to CJ. That's it.
I took a lot of bullets on – So Colin Coward read my CJ Stroud pre-draft stuff, and then, you know, he was very complimentary of me. And then he, you know, my comp on him was Jared Goff. And at the time, Jared Goff was not playing particularly great. It had some success. Had just been traded over to the Lions. And, you know, I think he had 1 year with the Lions. I got to check. And after the season was over, CJ was rookie of the year. He was apparently the sixth best quarterback or third best quarterback in the league by some standards, some measures, CJ's measure. And then Colin got a bunch of heat for reading my comp, and I got heat for comparing him to Jared Goff. Like, that was considered a disrespectful, like, wow, what an idiot. Lance Zierlein, your guy Lance, the great draft expert that you trust, had C.J. Stroud's comp as Jared Scrubby Goff. That's who was the comp. Jared Goff in 2023 had 30 touchdowns, 12 interceptions. Now, wait. I comped him before the 23 season to Jared Goff. And even right. after 23, Jared Goff had 30 touchdowns, 12 interceptions. His team was 12-5. It was pretty good. I felt like Goff, the way they played, was a pretty good comp. Jared Goff's third year, 28-7. I mean, second year, 28-7. Third year, 32-12. Fourth year, 22-16. Fifth year, 20-13. And then, you know, we know he struggled a little bit with the Rams, 20-13. But in Detroit, he had been 19-8, 29-7. I mean, these are good numbers. And I got ripped for making Jared Goff his comp because Jared Goff was nowhere near.
Now you would get ripped.
CJ Stroud.
Now you would get ripped because it's a, why are you denigrating Jared Goff?
Ripped for having Jared Goff. Jared Goff's last 2 years, 71 touchdowns and 20 interceptions. And he's thrown for 4,600. Oh, since I comped him to CJ Stroud, he has thrown for 101 touchdowns and 32 interceptions, and he's thrown for 45-75, 46-29, and 45-64. Now, my comps are really based on how they play, how they throw the ball, stuff like that. I still go by Jared Goff, but now my comp would obviously be worse because CJ doesn't have the poise and has not had the consistency. I don't know who my comp would be. It wouldn't be Freeman. But that's just an example of how quick it can change. I was an idiot for comping him to Goff because that was considered disrespectful. CJ was so much better. Now I should be called an idiot for having such a lofty comp on him.
So I don't want Sam, don't put this out there because, you know, for clicks. Is there a chance CJ doesn't get that big second contract?
Yeah, there's a chance, but here's why I think it's unlikely. Well, okay, define big second contract.
You know, forty plus a year.
Okay, so less than 40, I don't think there's any chance.
You don't.
And here's why. Here's why. I think ownership will not take a hard line against CJ. I don't think that this ownership
plays
is a hard
badly
line
next year. If he plays,
I think
badly.
Cal and Hannah are down with CJ. With CJ's mom. I think they really love the kid and love the person.
Hold on.
Jack was an absolute snake, and they were down with him for a long time.
Sign a guy to a $50 million contract because we like his mom.
You don't have to hear that, but I think they like the guy. I mean,
I think they really like the guy, too. You know what I would like? A good quarterback. Okay, if he plays like crap again, or if he regresses again next year, you cannot give him just because you like him. You can't. No.
Okay.
I mean, this is a business.
Cut that part. Use that video of John. Just cut that.
I'm standing on business right now.
You are standing on. You're 10 toes down.
Right. Don't worry. She has already informed me that this show will not be the show she grabs a video from today. So you can say whatever you like.
Okay.
Ooh, right. Man.
Thank you.
Man, you can really cut it loose now. No, I honestly, I'm just telling you, I don't think I. Here's what it would take for him not to get $40 million plus. And $40 million is not an elite contract at all by NFL standards. Here's what it would take. Here's why I don't think it'll happen. I don't think the McNairs will take a hard line against CJ, number one. Number two, I think that every team is fearful of the devil they don't know, which would be the unknown of the quarterback position. They're not going to be drafting high. They could get in Indianapolis Colts territory where they're drafting, you know, 16th or higher, which makes it really difficult to get your quarterback. Really difficult. I just, unfortunately, I think CJ and his agent have all the leverage. And I mean, if David Mulgeta wants to take a reasonable contract, then the Texans will consider that. But a reasonable contract is still like that's not even in David Mulgeta's lexicon. A reasonable contract for a quarterback? Forget it. He's not taking that. They have to give Nick the permission to be hardline. They have to give Nick the permission to be aggressive and make it to where, because you know what's going to happen? Ryan Clark's going to get on ESPN, Mulgeta's mouthpiece, and he's going to get on ESPN and he's going to start, you know, different things are going to leak out, different this, different that, and they're going to put some pressure on the Texans that way. Maybe CJ wants to go somewhere else if he's not wanted. I mean, I hope none of this stuff happens, But with David Mulgeta, it's 100% on the table.
Hmm. All right, we got a break. 713-780-3776.
You already saw it. Ryan Clark went to war for CJ with four interceptions at the half. You don't think he'll go to war for him in an off-season?
He came back the next day, and he talked about how CJ's got to play better. He did.
He said CJ's his little bro. Well, he has to.
He did say, it's my little bro, but he's got to play. He can't do what he did.
Ryan will eventually come around. He usually does. But, you know, it got bad. Like, Ryan Clark is the mouthpiece for the Deshaun Watson stuff.
Yeah.
Now, the Texans were easy marks back then. They were very easy marks. But I don't know. I've always been fearful of the Mulgeta, of the David Mulgeta
machine.
Yeah, because he has been. When his team, if don't let, God forbid, CJ has a good year next year. Yeah.
Oh my God!
You know it's going to be rough on the Texans.
Yeah, God forbid. quarterback.
Well, I know, and
back.
Our quarterback plays
have
well.
A good year, but
God forbid you don't have any tacos in your life from Taqueria Sorrentes.
Well, I mean, you can go to get a taquito. That's taquitos. That just means small tacos. It doesn't mean you know, a lot of people think, oh, those things that you fry up, that you roll up and fry up. No, I'm talking about taquito, meaning small taco. And they serve them in fives. Five come to an order. I get Al Pastor. I don't really mess around. I'm kind of sometime I'll mix and match my proteins. But I love to go Al Pastor. It's my favorite type. I get them with the street style, which is the chopped onions and cilantro and limes with a green. I like to use the green sauce. So they bring the green and red. I'll try them both out. That's for me. That's an authentic Mexican food experience. They're not Tex-Mex. They have authentic Mexican food. They have very, very good prices. That's something you're really, really going to enjoy. And you can get filled up, man. These plates, they don't mess around. Beans and rice is outstanding. They've got a lot of different authentic dishes on the on the menu, and a lot of your favorites as well. They do this for breakfast, for lunch, for dinner. They're great to go in for happy hour and enjoy some margaritas and some beers. It's a great spot to watch sports. They get the TVs cranked up on exactly what you want to watch, whether it's soccer, basketball, football, baseball. They don't care. They want you to have a good time. They want that to be your place, your hang. And find something new. Go dig in and go do some recon today with a lunch at Taqueria Serranos. I think you're going to love the food, and you're going to love the experience that they give you. Great Mexican food for very fair prices. It's Taqueria Serranos.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
You're listening to John and Lance.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, we got callers, but we got to get to this. We have been waiting and waiting, and I'm going to talk about this. Carlos Beltran and Andrew Jones get into the Hall of Fame. Carlos Beltran was, if not the mastermind, he was he's the one who started the sign-stealing scandal here in the city of Houston. It's well-documented. He came in, said, what are you guys doing? You guys are way behind. And Carlos Beltran got suspended for a year. He lost his job as the Mets manager. I mean, he definitely paid the price. I think people realized what kind of role he played. He was a great player. He, in 2004, I don't know that anybody had a postseason like he did ever. He was incredible here with the Astros. Ooh,
Jordan and... Well, Jordan stunk in that World Series in 21, but I don't know. Altuve never – we've never – I mean, he was great. Did we never have one of the – an Astros have that kind of Jose Altuve or George Springer or
not,
Carlos?
Not to the extent of Beltran.
Well, that's because we went – that's because those guys had wild card. They had – well, not all the time wild card, obviously, but – they had division. They had three different levels that they were playing. Beltran only played two.
Yeah, right. No. But his postseason in that year was one of the great postseasons ever.
You'd have stack up what Pena did, because he did win ALCS MVP and World Series MVP. But I don't know that his numbers would match. But if you're picking an Astro, it'd be the guy who won MVP of the final two series of that season.
Pena didn't win in the ALCS.
Yeah, he won. I'm looking at it right now. ALCS MVP and World Series MVP, Jeremy Pena.
Oh.
Wow, he did?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
I have it. Baseball Reference pulled up right now.
Is that Ballsack Reference?
No, no, no. That's on John's computer, on my computer.
In 04, he hit 455 against Atlanta with 1,000. 91 OPS, and he hit 417 against the Cardinals with a 1591 OPS and a 1521 OPS.
That's fine. I mean,
you know. It was incredible. He was incredible.
Oh, no, he was. Everything was a hit. It felt like everything. Do you know those were his first playoff appearances?
Yes, very first.
Those were his very first playoff appearances. I'm looking at it now. Yeah, 1500 OPS is typically high.
Typically.
He had four. Wow. You're right, John. Four home runs in both series.
Yeah. It was.
Oh, my God. Four bombs. Four homers in five games against Atlanta. And those were the dreaded Braves. Then he had four home runs in a seven-game series. He had eight homers in 12 games. Good Lord. And six stolen bases. Nine walks, eight strikeouts. I don't think Jeremy Pena hit those numbers.
No. He didn't. Jeremy Pena's postseason OPS that year was over 1,000. He hit four home runs in the entire postseason, eight RBIs, batting average of .345. So a great postseason, but not Beltran.
Not Beltran.
No, that's rare. I mean, we're eight home runs in 12 games. My gosh.
That's
almost like he was had knew exactly what the pitches were coming.
Ooh, what? Well, here's AJ. Like. This is this podcast. I don't know who else is on there with AJ Pierzynski. I don't know the other guys. But Foul Territory discussed Beltran's role in the sign stealing and what it meant for him and whether or not it should have kept him out of the Hall of Fame.
There was a lot of other people doing things at the same time.
Right,
I played on teams where guys were doing all kinds of nothing like that crazy.
Yeah.
But there was always stuff going on. So you can't. That wasn't something you could hold against them because they were using the tools that they were allowed to use.
And he was coming over from the Yankees, right?
Yes.
And I think there were some things going on there, too. I'm not pointing out just the Yankees. It's the Red Sox. The Red Sox got caught with some stuff. There was a lot. That was the sign-stealing era. And the Astros took it too far, and that changed a lot of things. But does that prevent a guy for his entire career from making it to the Hall of Fame? Because if we're going to start getting that specific on everything – it gets really challenging. He was a ringleader. That was pretty much proven. He was a big part of it.
He also lost his job as a manager because of it.
He got punished.
So he's been punished.
Doesn't matter if you.
But that right there tells me one thing. Jose Altuve gets in the Hall of Fame on his first ballot.
Oh, if he doesn't get in the Hall of Fame, I'll burn the place down.
Well, don't say that. If it does start on fire. Then we've got proof that you.
No, don't clip this, Sam. Don't use this.
No, don't use that. Don't worry, she's not using Sam anything. She's not using anything from this show.
Sam's going to eventually get us fired. Eventually, by taking our words and recycling them so more people hear them.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not going to be on us for saying it. It's going to be on her for making sure that more people hear us.
Accountability from you. You'll just blame her.
You know what? I got to play better. I got to do better. And I think Nick Cayley's getting better as a play caller.
I think Sam's getting better as a social media manager.
She's getting better. I think she's doing her job better. And I vibe with her. That's fine.
See, you got to give her a nickname, too, because Kales is what Cayley is. You got a nickname for Sam?
Yeah, Bully.
Okay. That feels like a title more than anything. But she's not pulling from the show. Don't worry. Say whatever you want.
Yeah, we can say whatever we want. She's not pulling from the show. That whole conversation, the only thing I could think of was Jose Altuve. And if these a-hole sports writers decide to hold this against Jose Altuve, we just go to Carlos Beltran, who was the instigator for the whole damn thing, and say, you hypocrites. You hypocrites. How could you possibly keep a guy who had a better career than Beltran and actually has been proven that he really did not play a role, a big role in this. Not even close to what Beltran.
I don't think he has. I don't think Jose Altuve has anything to worry about. He may not get in on first ballot, but there's enough baseball people out there who have kind of look, Twitter's not voting on him to get in the Hall of Fame. I think that there, and it's not just going to be Bill Plaschke or somebody from L.A. There's a lot of voters. I think there are enough people who know that he was, and there's enough intel out there to know that he was, not only was he not a ringleader, in many regards, he didn't even use it. Or if he used it, it was sparingly and it was against his will. People were just banging on stuff, but that stopped. Mm-hmm. I don't think, now, I'll tell you this. I think Springer gets cleansed some because he went to, I don't think he's a Hall of Famer, but I'm just saying, if we were looking at people from that time, Springer would get cleansed for going to Toronto. I think Carlos has no chance of ever, I mean, Carlos Correa probably has no chance of getting in a Hall of Fame. He's not having a Hall of Fame career, but he would have no chance because people tie him. And what about Bregman? What about Bregman? Bregman is tied directly to that as to, and remember, it's because those two, Bregman and Jose Altuve, had to go face the media first. So they were seen as the face of that. You think Bregman could end up, he played in Boston, and then where's he going now? Chicago.
The Cubs.
If he goes to New York, he will have hit the three big. I know, but if he goes to New York eventually, he will hit the three big media markets where he can finally erase, where they'll say, okay, you played for our teams. You didn't cheat. You're a good person.
Yeah, you are a good person.
As long as you play, well, it might help if he played for the Dodgers too.
Yeah.
So if he can get traded to the Yankees and then sign his last two- or three-year contract with the Dodgers and play well in a postseason and he, you know, defer his money until he's 80, then and only then can he cleanse himself of the Astros' sins, because he would have played in Chicago and Boston and New York and L.A., the only cities that really matter for baseball. The only cities that really matter. They're the only ones that matter.
Speaking of the only things that matter, Dell, you know whose birthday it is today? Hakeem Olajuwon's.
Dream. Unbeatable.
Who shares Spin a birthday? Moves. Who shares a birthday? Dell, you share a birthday. You share a birthday with David Gow.
No, he shares a birthday with me. But okay.
I share one with Mattress Mac.
Mm-hmm.
And Lance shares one with Hakeem Olajuwon.
Are we supposed to acknowledge that or wait for one of the listeners and then we pile on?
Well, nobody said anything, so I had to.
Oh, okay.
I mean, Keith, well, nice job. Else? Nice job, great caller, Keith. You didn't even acknowledge Lance's birthday.
Dez who tweets out
I'll the bet birthday. I'll bet you'll call in when it's Carson Wentz's birthday.
Happy birthday, Lance.
Happy birthday,
yeah,
Lance.
Yeah, thank you. It's also, and I just Sam won't so even well.
Sam won't even put you on Twitter today.
Well,
and it's your birthday.
He's not on camera. He doesn't want to be on.
I know. Why aren't you on camera?
It's not in a spot where it'd be great. He told me already.
Yeah, it's not a great spot. It's just in the bedroom here, and then I'd have to deal with a bunch of snarky comments.
I'm going off camera.
Here's some other people I share my birthday with. American Civil War Confederate General Stonewall Jackson was born today. Oscar II, King of Sweden, was born today.
Oscar the Grouch?
The German chemist Felix Hoffmann. Grigori Rasputin. Russian monk and confidant of Russian Tsar Nicholas II.
Who was the first guy?
Yeah. The first guy was Stonewall Jackson.
You hover above, rain hell below.
Congratulations.
Killing them hogs real nice and slow. Brett Myers going to throw that gas down around your knees, put you on your ass. Ah! Rebels, rebels,
rebels,
bringing the muskets and bringing down death on us. Rebels, rebels, keep everybody in bondage. All way down south in the land of cotton. Old times there are not forgotten. Look away, look away.
You and Stonewall.
Stonewall. To me and Stonewall, my guy Stoney, as we used to call him.
Remember Stoney? Remember Stoney?
Oh, Jack Nicklaus. John. Yeah, I remember Stoney. No way he's alive still.
I don't know, but maybe. Jack Nicklaus's birthday?
Yeah.
You share a birthday with Jack Nicklaus?
I do. Jack Nicklaus, 86 today.
That's,
Placido Domingo, the tenor.
And you throw clubs on the driving range. You should be ashamed of yourself.
Paul Allen. You ever heard of Paul Allen?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, rich guy.
Here he is. You Akeem and the rich Olajuwon.
Guy. Yep.
Akeem Olajuwon. Emma Bunton. Remember her?
Emma?
She's one of the Spice Girls.
No,
she's which one is she? She's Punky Spice
no,
or
she
I don't
was
know.
Baby Spice.
No. And you remember M and J Electric? You remember M and J Electrical?
I do. M and J Electrical. Of course, I remember them. Now I'm not a general contractor, but if I were a general contractor or if I were an electrical contractor, I would probably already know. To be honest with you, I'd already know M and J, because M and J is they're great at doing two things. Number one, they will take all of your electrical equipment, the old electrical equipment, and they can take it out for you, give you – when I say that, if you have a job that you're doing, you got all this old electrical equipment that you're going to replace, there's two ways they can help you. The first way is that they can take it out for you and then basically refurbish it. And from there, they are going to be able to sell it with a one-year warranty like new. So you're in great, great shape as that pertains. So you've got a chance to get some the fuses, the switches, all the everything that you need from an electrical standpoint refurbished from M&J Electrical and Supply. Secondly, if you need brand new equipment, they've got a ton of brand new equipment. They cut down on your lead time. So you get your jobs done quickly. You can get your jobs done for less with the refurbished equipment. And most importantly to me is that they can take out old electrical equipment on the jobs you're doing and they can give you real money back. It's not scrap prices. I'm talking about real money back. That is something you cannot pass up on. So make sure that you go with M&J because M&J is going to give you best prices for all of your old electrical so that you don't have to get scrap prices. And they get you all the fuses, panels, switch gears, disconnects, transformers, everything you're going to need. One phone call does it all. They're right here in Houston, but they ship nationwide. 713-699-5055. That's 713-699-5055.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.